Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. To recap Chapter 10, Perek Yud, Shmuel takes a cruse of oil and anoints Shaul. Right away, Shmuel tells him all the incidents that will happen to him that day. Shaul is going to meet a group on his journey. The first group will tell him, the donkeys were found and that his father is worried about him, not the donkeys anymore. The second group will have goats, bread, and wine, and will inquire about his welfare and give him two loaves of bread. And the third group are prophets with musical instruments. The leitmotif of this journey is transformation. Shaul has to change in order to be king. In Pasuk Vav, it says that when he meets the prophets and gets nevuah, gets prophecy, he will become an ish acher, another person. And when he turns to leave Shmuel, it says, Hashem transformed his heart to a lev acher, a different heart. Why all this change? Why does he have to undergo this odyssey? We were informed in the introduction story that Shaul was tall and he was good. But you need more to be a king. You need to be a leader. You have to have leadership qualities. At the end of this perek, Shmuel gathers Am Yisrael to present them with their new king. Shaul's name comes out of a lottery and the divine Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate. And Shaul cannot be found because he is hiding. Nechba el hakelim. And Rashi says he did not even tell his uncle that he was chosen because he was so modest. He had so much tzniut. When Shaul is introduced, Ein kamohu, no one is like him. But they don't say any specifics. They don't say any attributes. Why is no one like him? But everyone sees him tall and says, Yechi HaMelech, long live the king. Shmuel writes the protocols of kingship in a book and sends everyone home. And those that Hashem touched their hearts join him. But there is also a group that are skeptical and they grumble. But Shaul acts as if he is oblivious to this criticism. Again, we see very strongly that Hashem intervenes to make sure that people follow Shaul, that people listen to Shaul. There's a lot of divine intervention to help Shaul. After this transformation, Shaul will have to prove himself. And his first opportunity arrives in our Perek, Perek 11, Yud Aleph. Nachash HaAmoni, a leader from the neighboring country Ammon, on the eastern side of the border, where the tribes Reuven, Gad, and part of Manasseh live, comes close to the border city of Yavesh Gilad, which is part of Manasseh's territory. They're worried, and they ask Nachash to sign a treaty with them. And in return, they will pay him tribute and taxes. This is standard for the times of the judges. Neighboring kings would constantly attack Bnei Israel, and since the tribes were so fractured and not unified, they did not think they had any other option but to acquiesce to the demands of whichever king and enemy it was. Nachash taunts Anshei Yavesh Gilad with this condition. He will only sign a treaty if he can gouge every citizen's right eye to debase them. And consequently, it will be a debasement of all of Am Yisrael. So the elders of Yavesh Gilad respond that they will send messengers throughout all of Israel apprising the other Shvatim tribes of this condition, and if they will not be rescued by their brethren in 7 days, they will go ahead with the horrific agreement. That is the pattern in Sefer Shoftim. Usually, you went around, maybe one tribe or another will come and help you. With Devorah, Naphtali and Zevulun fight. With Gidon, it was mostly Manasseh. There is also another aspect to this scenario. The only time Bnei Israel were unified in Sefer Shoftim, in the Book of Judges, is when everyone gathers to destroy the tribe of Binyamin because of the incident of Pilegish Bagivah. After the battle, they gather at Mitzpah and swear that no tribe should marry into Binyamin, and the only group that does not arrive is the city of Yavesh Gilad. Bnei Israel attack and annihilate the inhabitants except for the young marriageable maidens, and they were betrothed to the young Binyamin soldiers who were left. So the inhabitants of Yavesh Gilad are really from Binyamin. But it is a city that reminds everyone of the horrible civil war that transpired and dredges up a lot of bad memories. They are Shaul's kith and kin. Will he defend them? Will he be able to rouse the entire country to follow him to save them? Or will this cause friction among the tribes? Will Shaul be able to be the leader of Bnei Israel? Will all of Bnei Israel follow him at this moment? Or will the old feelings of civil war creep in? This perek shows us that Shaul will rise to the occasion. Shaul is back home tending the cattle on his family farm when he hears crying. When he is told what is happening, he acts heroically. We're reading now the psukim Dalid to Tet, 4 to 9. V'hinei Shaul ba acharei bakar min ha-sadeh. V'yomer Shaul, ma la'am ki yivku? V'yisapru lo et divrei anshei Yavesh. Shaul was just coming from the field, tending the cattle. Also interesting, he was really appointed as king, and yet he's still modest and tending to his cattle. And Shaul asked, why is everyone crying? And they tell him about the situation of Anshei Yavesh. U'kishamo ha'dvarim ha'ele v'yichar apo me'od. And when he hears these things, he's very angry. And v'titzlach ruach Elokim al Shaul. And also the spirit of Hashem grips Shaul. So what we see here very importantly is that Ruach Elokim, the spirit of Hashem, comes down on Shaul when he hears this, and he's very angry. Which means that, again, Hashem has to actively come down on Shaul to help him respond to this event. And what does he do? Vayikach tzemet bakar vayintacheu, vayishlach b'chol gvul Yisrael biyad ha-malachim. He takes a yoke of oxen, two that he's working with obviously in the field, and he cuts it up and he sends it all over Israel. Does it remind you? The same thing they did with the body of Pilegesh Bagiva. They cut up her body and send it as a message to all of Israel. So it's interesting that Shaul is not afraid of using symbolism from that interesting and deeply troubling time period. But it worked. It galvanized all of Am Yisrael then, and he wants to galvanize all of Am Yisrael now. And what does he say when he sends out this cut-up meat? Asher einenu yotze acharei Shaul v'acharei Shmuel, kol ya'aseh livkaro. Anyone who doesn't come out after Shaul and after Shaul, this is what's going to be done to your cattle. V'yipol pachad Hashem al ha'am, v'yitzu ki'ish echad. And the fear of Hashem falls on everybody, and they come out as one person. Again, Hashem intervenes. It's Pachar Hashem. And they all come out as one person. Rarely do we ever have this phrase that all of Bnei Israel are so unified. So Shaul, with his tactics, is able to unify Am Yisrael. Vayifkadem bevazek, vayu Bnei Israel shlosh meot elef, v'ish Yehuda shloshim elef. He is able to rally so many people. 300,000 of the regular citizens and of Yehuda, which is always counted separately, 30,000. So he is able to galvanize and get everybody together. And they send a message to Yavesh Gilad. They tell Yavesh Gilad, Machar tiye lachem tshua kechom ha-shemesh. Tomorrow you're going to have salvation in the heat of the day, in the middle of the day. Vayismachu. And they rejoice. They're so happy because they're so worried that they're going to be decimated, that they're going to have to gouge out their right eye. They are going to be saved. Anshei Yavesh Gilad come to Nachash HaAmoni, and they fake, and they say, oh, tomorrow we're going to come out to you, and you could do whatever you want to us. Machar netze aleichem, v'asitem lanu kechol hatov be'inechem. The spirit of Hashem alights on Shaul, and he's very angry. Radak and Mitzudat David note that Hashem endowed Shaul with heroism here. That it's a special gevura that he gets. And again, as we saw, Hashem always has to intervene to bolster Shaul in his leadership. And Malbim comments that Hashem channels Shaul's anger to defeat Hashem's enemy and not see this in personal terms. That is the transformation that is happening to Shaul. This is not personal here. He is seeing himself as a representative of Am Yisrael. This is God's war. And the fact that he can galvanize so many warriors to join representing so many different shvatim is showing that, oh, he is able to be a unifier and he's able to motivate Bnei Israel. And it's fascinating because he uses the same tactic that Bnei Israel used to attack Binyamin. He's not afraid to use that same symbolism that was used against his own Shevet, which means he's becoming mature and he's identifying with Bnei Israel and not seeing these as territorial little wars. They're past the civil war that they had in the that was written up in the end of Sefer Shoftim. Shaul has a very clear military strategy. Nachash will be surprised, and they will lay a very precise ambush and divide into different groups to defeat the enemy. This battle proved that Shaul is a military leader. He is a unifier. He can galvanize the nation, and he can cope under pressure. So as a result, Bnei Israel decide, oh, we want Shaul. He's proven that he can be our next king. And Psukim Yudbet to Tetvav, 12 to 15, really relate this idea. Vayomer Amel Shmuel, Miha Omer Shaul Yimloch Aleinu, Tnu Anashim Unimitem. After this battle, the people say to Shmuel, who are the ones who said, who's Shaul that he should rule upon us? We want to kill them. Vayomer Shaul, Lo Yumat Ish Bayom Azeh, Ki Hayom Asa Hashem Tshua B'Yisrael. But Shaul replies, you see, they address Shmuel, but we hear Shaul's voice. Shaul replies, and he says, Lo yumat ish bayom hazeh. No one should be killed on this day. Ki hayom asa Hashem tshuva b'Yisrael. Because Hashem made such a great miracle for Am Yisrael and saved us. So Shaul is speaking like a great leader here. Number one, he says no one should be killed. And who really brought the deliverance? Hashem. He's saying, it wasn't me. It was really Hashem. Oh, Shmuel is so impressed. So Vayomer Shmuel Elaam. So Shmuel says to the people, he's impressed. Shaul is acting like a king. The transformation is helping. Vayomer Shmuel Elaam. So Shmuel says, Lechu venelcha ha-Gilgal unechadesh ha-mamlucha. Let's go to Gilgal and re-inaugurate the monarchy. Let's renew the malucha. Vayelchu kol ha'am Gilgal, and everybody goes to Gilgal. In Tanakh, we don't always use the phrase kol. We say vayelchu ha'am. But here it's vayelchu kol ha'am ha'Gilgal. Everyone goes to Gilgal. Vayamlichu sham et Shaul lifnei Hashem. And they anoint Shaul lifnei Hashem, before Hashem ba'Gilgal. Lifnei Hashem is used when you go to the Beit HaMikdash, when you bring special korbanot. Chana was davening lifnei Hashem. So this is a very strong statement. They're all anointing Shaul. It's Lifnei Hashem. They're rejoicing in their king, who is also talking about Hashem. Vayizbechu sham zvachim shlamim Lifnei Hashem. And again it says Lifnei Hashem. They sacrifice Lifnei Hashem, so they anoint him Lifnei Hashem. They sacrifice Lifnei Hashem. Vayismach sham Shaul v'chol anshei Yisrael ad ma'od. And they're very happy. Similar to the language we use, v'samachta b'chagecha, and the idea of lifnei Hashem. An unbelievable simcha, an unbelievable rejoicing and happiness is happening at this point. So Shaul is really proving, oh, maybe he is that great king they were all waiting for. In the last perek, we saw there were doubters. And after this battle, Shaul's admirers and advocates want capital punishment, the death penalty, for anyone who criticizes Shaul. But Shaul responds instead of Shmuel and says, no, no one should die. How could you murder on such a day of heavenly salvation? And Shmuel invites everyone for a second crowning ceremony. To sum up, Nachash Ammoni, a leader from the neighboring country Ammon, on the eastern side of the border where Reuven, Gad, and Manasseh live, nears the border of Yavesh Gilad. They realize that they're threatened, so they tell Nachash, we'll sign a treaty with you, we'll pay tribute and taxes. But Nachash taunts Anshei Yavesh Gilad, and he says, I'll only sign a treaty if I can gouge every citizen's right eye. Anshei Yavesh Gilad are very worried, but they'll say, okay, we're sending a message to Bnei Israel. Let's see if anyone helps us. We'll get back to you in 7 days. To their surprise and great joy, Shaul is back tending the cattle, and when he hears this news, the Spirit of Hashem alights on Shaul, and he's very angry. And he galvanizes all of Am Yisrael, and they lay a precise ambush, and they defeat Nachash. This battle proved Shaul's prowess as a unifier and a great military leader, and one who can cope under pressure. And Shmuel invites all of Bnei Israel for a second crowning ceremony at Gilgal, before Hashem, that is filled with korbanot, sacrifices, and a lot of simcha. So does this mean Shmuel is totally on board and enthusiastic about Shaul's kingship? He does bring everyone to Gilgal to renew the crowning. But let's see what Shmuel's reaction is in the next perek, in chapter Yudbet. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.